Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
This week in the industry review, we're going to be talking to three people who are in the coach hire business. I'm delighted to be joined now by JJ Kavanagh. He's the director of JJ Kavanagh Coaches. Paddy Matthews also joins us. He's the owner of Matthews Coaches. And Carlos O'Connell, owner of Paddy Wagon, is here as well. So you're all very welcome to the programme, gents. We might start with you, JJ. Your business is around a long time, started by your grandparents, as I understand it, Jimmy and Molly in 1919.
That's right, that's right. We have come a long way since then. The first run, they started initially as doing a bus service from Urlingford to Kilkenny, which was, and believe it or not, the time difference now, or the time taken to do the journey, hasn't changed dramatically not in the intervening period. But that was our first outing. Then we continued doing that. We did a lot of, during that time, obviously, there were very few cars. They kept operating even through the wars, through the shortages, through everything. So then we developed more services in the southeast area, emanating from Urlingford in particular. So we did Clonmel, Port Leash, Rosgray, etc. But my father then got involved in the late 30s. He came home from school and got involved in the business. And he ran it until he died, unfortunately, in 1986 as a young man. And Paul, my brother, and I then got involved. We took it over and we have expanded it significantly since.
And JJ, how many buses do you actually have? How many buses are in your fleet?
Well, we're running a fleet between Ireland and England of about 130 vehicles.
Wow. Okay.
It's a very, very capital intensive business. We do a fleet replacement on an annual basis. This year alone, we have brought in over 30 new vehicles into the fleet. So obviously we're selling off some of the older stuff, but it is a very costly and expensive business to be in.
And the typical or the sort of mean price for a bus, whatever, a 50-seater bus is about 300 grand, is it?
Depending on the spec, it can be between 300,000 and 400,000.
Right.
Plus the VAT. And if it's not for touring work, the VAT is not recoverable, unfortunately. So that is it's a huge impediment to investment. It adds significantly to the cost.
Okay.
So it has to be just for touring. It has to be for touring spec.
Okay. We'll come back to that when we look at the issues in a minute. Let me bring in Paddy Matthews, owner of Matthews Coaches, from up there in County Monaghan. Paddy, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Tell us a little about, you started with one bus and you've grown your fleet to a sizable operation, Paddy, adding, you know, more vehicles as you went along. But you've built a fine business.
Yeah, we started in 1985 by pure accident, actually. We had three children of our own and three foster children, and we couldn't fit them into the car, so there was a bus come up for sale beside me, and I bought the bus. They'd come out of school, run football runs, bingo runs and all of that, and eventually we had to expand a little bit because it wasn't acceptable to carry and go to a football match with 25 kids in a 16-seater minibus.
Yeah.
So we had to buy a few bigger buses, and we started doing contract work then for CIE, bus air and schools and that. So eventually we've seen the motorway from Dundalk to Dublin was going to open. I thought we'd take a stab at it. We applied for the licence. We actually got the licence to operate on the motorway.
Yeah. And was that a game changer from your business perspective?
It was murder, because we started in May when all the students were finished college and everything else. We were running up and down the road like blue arse slaves with nobody on the buses. So eventually in September it took off and it grew from there. We added a few more different routes in around Bettystown later, and then we started getting around the IFSC and things like that. So before the COVID there, we were carrying about 7,500 passengers a day, and that has dropped down to about 700 during COVID.
Yeah, I was looking at those figures because I thought it's a good reflection on, if you were saying that you were before COVID, you were carrying 7,500 passengers per day. During COVID, drops to 1,500 a day, but now it's back to 4,500 to 5,000 a day. But it's still down 20%.
It is, but it's working out actually better. The buses are bigger. We're carrying less drivers. We can't get drivers, basically. That's the problem.
Right.
So we have bigger buses. A lot of the buses now are 90 seats, 95 seats. So
that must be a huge frustration, Paddy. You know, you've got this asset that JJ was saying there that costs between 300 and 400 grand, and you struggle to get somebody to drive it.
Yeah, I dream of figures like 300 or 400 grand. We've three buses ordered at the moment, and they're around 700 grand.
Oh, jeez.
Plus VAT. So.
Wow. Okay. Let's bring in our third guest, Carl O'Connell, the owner of Paddy Wagon. Carl, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby.
Now, you're around a long number of years as well, Carl. You're the name of your business, Paddy Wagon, dreamed up in a pub in Christchurch, yeah?
That's right.
So, tell us about the story from there.
I think we're on about the fifth pint, and there was a guy who was working for AIB sitting beside me, and I said, I'm going to go home and buy a bus. And I'm going to call it the Paddy Wagon. And he said, you're mad. It'll never work. And the minute somebody tells you it'll never work, that's the time to go for it.
Right.
Because the people who think things will never work will never do it.
True.
And us who think that it will work will always do it. And that's the entrepreneurial skill. I mean, I know exactly what Paddy is talking about there. You can't get drivers. And he's talking about a 95-seater being 700,000. That's what they are for a double-decker. But the reason we're buying these now is you can't get the pilots to drive. So if you can get a fellow who can drive 95 seats rather than 50 seats,
yeah,
you've got two drivers for the price of one, but you're paying for the bus.
Yeah.
But the thing about it...
But isn't it amazing the way the business model follows the availability of skilled labour?
I'm telling you that a good bus driver makes more than a principal of a school.
Yeah.
But the young people are not going into it. And I know Paddy and JJ will agree with me. There's no youngster of 25 going doing the bus licence now, or very few, unless they have relations in the industry. I mean, every guy I have, and I'm in the young people's industry, is over 60.
Right.
I mean, I'm nearly over 60 myself.
How many buses are you running?
Well, I'm running 70 vehicles.
Right.
Let's say 50 buses and 20 Vianos, which the guys in the industry would know are six-seaters for luxury golfers and the guys going down to Doonbeg and all these places. But for big coaches, yeah, you are talking 350 grand. We get the VAT back because we're in the tour business. We're not running service runs. But
so it strikes me that that whole VAT thing being applied to some of the business and not to other parts of it is an area of greyness, an area of dispute, an area of that often requires clarity.
Tourism across Europe, where it comes to tours, there's an agreement in the European Union that VAT is off the limits. But if you're running service runs, if you're running from here to Belfast or to Dundalk or to Kilkenny, yeah, the buses are VAT-able and you don't get it back.
Right. Yeah. JJ, tell me more about that. Is it a grey area, or is it one that is crystal clear to you and just something needs to be done about it?
Well, it's crystal clear to me that you only get it back on vehicles that are purchased to do tour work. They have to be to a specific specification. But in our submission, Coach Tourism Transport Council has made a submission to government to repeal this and to extend the VAT refund to all vehicles, all passenger vehicles, because it is a means of encouraging investment in new vehicles, reducing emissions, and making the fleet more fuel efficient, more environmentally friendly, etc. So it's a huge impediment. You take it, the conventional, say, bus costs you about 300,000. That's run around the city by between 200 and 300. An electric version of that is about 600,000. So you put VAT on top of that. So you're paying, say, 140,000-150,000 VAT on an electric vehicle, where 70,000 on a conventional vehicle.
Which means you're never going to convert to electric on those numbers.
Well, you can't afford it. It's cost prohibitive. So if the government needs and wants vehicles to be of the latest design and specification, well, then something has to be done about it. And as I say, that was one of our key asks in our budget submission recently. Like, you know, we are a big industry. We employ 15,000, 16,000 people. We have 11,000 vehicles in the commercial sector here in Ireland, which is twice the state, over twice what the state owns.
Yeah.
So we invest 80 million plus per annum in the business. you know, there is huge investment going into this business.
Yeah, no, I'm not disputing that, JJ. Paddy, can I ask you?
Unlike any other business, Bobby, in the country.
Yeah,
with
no.
That exempt sector.
Yeah.
So it's a huge, like haulage, for instance, gets the VAT back on their diesel, on their parts, etc. We don't.
Okay.
So we're suffering all that as well.
All right. Can I just bring Paddy Matthews back in and ask his view on electric vehicles, Paddy? I understand that you're not a fan either. Is it because of the numbers that JJ trotted out there that they don't seem to certainly make a good business case?
Well, a little run we do for the department goes from Shercock and County Cavan to Dundalk. And covered that run, we needed two electric buses. One electric bus wouldn't do it because the battery would run out. We had to get a diesel generator to charge these buses. There wasn't enough power in there.
Oh, no, stop. So you were charging the buses, electric buses, using a diesel generator. Well, that's surely a mug's game.
But that's it, and the price of them, they were only 31 seats, and they were, I think it was something like 350 or 20,000 plus the VAT.
Yeah.
On top of that. And they weigh about 12 tonnes, so they're very, very hard on springs, airbags. And then the low floor, so anywhere there's a ramp, they're rubbing on the ramp and causing us endless trouble.
So you wouldn't be a fan then?
They're okay in certain areas.
But yeah.
This was a rural route.
But it sounds to me like, just from hearing what yourself and JJ have just said, that it's unlikely either of you will be going down that route.
Not in the immediate future.
What about you, Cal?
Well, I mean, if I had short service runs, I certainly, to keep the state happy and so on, to be an example, I think I would invest. Like, let's say I was doing a park and ride or something. I do have electric vehicles as limousines. Now, the drivers don't particularly like doing it because they, let's say you're going to the Cliffs of Moher or to the Giant's Causeway, you do need to stop for a charge for 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then when you're at the point of arrival, you need to charge again because they generally, while they do have a, well, the buses only have a limit of about 250 kilometres, but the cars can go for 400. But if you turn on the air condition, you're down to 250.
Yeah.
And you can't get to certain points in Ireland in one run. So a lot of the older guys are just used to pouring in the diesel, drive on down the road and no hassle, rather than having to stop with Pat McDonough in Obama Plaza for a big charge, you know.
No, I get that completely. And again, until the infrastructure improves, until things like the range, but more importantly, the cost has to come down, I think, for everybody too.
Well, I think if there's a bit of help, if one of us sets an example, the customer will pay if they feel that they're environmentally friendly. And, you know, over a period of, you know, what you pay a bus over 5 to 7 years, it's not going to break the bank.
Yeah.
If you want to do it and you feel conscious for the environment, I think it's a runner.
Yeah. JJ, what about the sort of various revenue streams in your business? You talk about contracts there with government, bus tours, tourism. How does it all break up? How many different sort of sectors are you operating in?
Well, we operate in the incoming tour market extensively during the tour season. We have a lot of coaches that are designed specifically to cater for that market. We have extended, or we do a lot of scheduled services then, especially interurban. We were the only one for a long time that had a city service. We operate a city service in Waterford City, which started in 1931 and we took it over in 1995. We do rural services. We operate college services.
Right.
We're very much into the day tour program as well. We do the Cliffs. We do the Giant's Causeway every day, which is 360 odd days per annum.
Yeah.
So we're in a wide variety of business. The only thing we don't do are schools. We don't subcontract into Bus Éireann at all.
Okay.
For the school, we don't do any of the school contracts at the moment.
But we
have taken on quite a few of some of the NTA contracts with regard to the local links, and we're doing one for directly for the NTA, which is NACE to Blanchardstown, which is 18 hours per day on an hourly basis, so it's quite an extensive service.
Right. But is it about, I suppose, sweating your assets? So you've got all these buses and then you've got to deploy them as efficiently and as often as you can. So you're going to be involved in multiple, I suppose, revenue streams.
You have to, yes. Like the vehicles have to be interchangeable. They have to be able to do multifunctional to a large degree. Except, say, for instance, in an urban environment where you have to have the low floor wheelchair accessible vehicle for ease of movement, for easy loading and easy offloading of passengers. Other than that, the coach is for intercity, for tourism, for anything else. It has to be the coach model that's currently available for luggage, for comfort, for capacity. Et cetera,
okay.
You know,
Carl, about the off season, how do you again deploy the assets right throughout the year? Like, I can see you're busy, obviously, with the tourism season currently on. I know tourism is a year round thing, but do you have peaks and troughs? Are you able to get occupancies at a fairly constant level throughout the year?
Yeah, I think from February through to November, we keep the majority of our fleet on the road. I mean, we do an awful lot of day tours, an awful lot of All-Ireland and Southern Ireland tours. And between the mix, and then an awful lot of American families. I mean, I have a brand called Elegant Irish Tours, which brings the five-star people around, which would be top-end minibuses and so on. Get a lot of American families like going to all of these five-star hotels. So between the mix, and if you vary the prices, and we're very internet savvy, I mean, keeping prices according to what we can get, we keep the fleet on the road most of the year round. And then when we don't have it on the road, you know, after a long season and buses going up and down to the north and to Clare and West Cork and hammering around the Ring of Kerry, they need to be tidied up. They need to be, you know, they'll have an odd, you know, a lot of people are talking about bus lanes here in Dublin. I'm talking about bypassing Adair and not sitting in the traffic for 2 hours and getting around the bridge in Ennis-Dyman and widening roads. Because I've more damage done to that bridge than it's done to my buses.
Yeah.
But it's just about keeping everyone happy. And a lot of the drivers then, they were a bit like Fungi in his day. He used to get tired in November. He was flat out in July, but by November he was knackered.
Yeah, it's a tough game.
So it's a tough game for lads on the road. You're putting mileage on the clock and mileage on your heart and mileage in your head.
Yeah.
So they need the break and they go off on their holidays and so on. So we're happy to see the break. The buses are happy to see the break. They need a break.
And then you re-energise.
And then we're flat out again by February.
Paddy, that thing about availability of qualified drivers that you mentioned earlier there, is there some issue around the recognition of international driver license that aren't recognised here from other countries, or is that an issue?
Well, it hasn't been an issue with us, but I believe it is an issue elsewhere now.
Right.
We have a few Romanians, we have a few Polish, we have a few Lithuanians, but they are all obviously transferred through. We haven't have any.
Yeah. So how do you go about finding drivers?
They usually find us.
Is that right? Yeah.
That's it. We advertise all right, but usually they come up and turn up, speak to other drivers.
And do drivers then, obviously they're employed directly by you, or are they?
Oh, they are. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, they're all employed.
Yeah. And would they get tips and things to help their revenue?
Not so much on the service now, no.
Right.
We do very, very little tours.
Yeah.
We used to do tours, but we found out it was differentiating with drivers. We ended up with tour drivers and then with other drivers, so it was causing a bit of a rift, so we quit the tours. The last tours, I think, we done was in 2012. We done the Olympics over to London.
Right.
We sent 15 buses over there and 30 drivers, so.
Right.
That tied up our summer for us.
So have you handed over the reins to your kids now, or are you you're still keeping a watchful eye on what's going on, I'd say?
Yeah, just sitting on the top branch looking down, but they're doing a good job. They're looking after it well, so.
All right. And JJ, would you be optimistic then, the VAT issue aside, for the future of the business and the sector?
I certainly am, yes. I've seen great growth in post-COVID. Like, you know, we were on an upward trajectory before COVID. It obviously, we had this massive slump then. But since the normalization of things again, we've seen a good upsurge in business again. Now, this summer obviously has actually, for some strange reason, July and August seem to be very flat.
Do they?
With regard to incoming tours now. You know, yeah. So, whether it's price, whether it's just, I don't know what the reason is, or maybe it's hotel availability. I don't know, but it has been slow.
Okay,
but we're hoping for a pickup again in September. But I think overall, like, you know, public transport in the main domestically is being focused upon. But one thing Cahill said there regarding the bus lanes, I've been campaigning myself personally and through the Coach Tourism and Transport Council for 5 or 6 years now to get bus priority, bus lanes on all the main routes into Dublin for, say, a 20, 30-kilometre radius.
Yeah.
And I feel by doing that, we could take 10 to 15% of cars off the road.
Yeah, that'd be significant. Last word to you, Cahill, in terms of the future of the business. Just what JJ said there about the summer, are you experiencing good, or how's trade with you?
Well, I'm in the accommodation industry as well. Trade is flat.
Right.
And it always happens the year there's an election in America, because most of our market is American.
Yeah.
And once they're, you know, shouting for the Donald or whatever, they're not over here.
Yeah.
It just seems to be a trade. But am I optimistic? Totally. We're on the up and up. I mean, the roads are great, and great work from JJ. We get into O'Connell Street a lot quicker than we did in the day. And we're looking forward to filling them flat out for the next 10 years until the kids are old enough to do it.
All right. Well, look, it's been a pleasure to talk to my three guests, great ambassadors for their sector. JJ Kavanagh from JJ Kavanagh Coaches, Paddy Matthews from Matthews Coaches, and Cahill O'Connell from Paddy Wagon. Thanks for joining us, guys. I appreciate it.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.